scripture today is found in Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God add his blessing to this reading. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Please be seated. And thank you, Mike, for bringing the NIV back. This passage, this story, which Kathy just read from Luke 15, it's a powerful passage in the gospel. It talks about our Christian responsibility in reaching out to the lost people around us. And the more I read this passage, the more I study this passage, the more I realize how difficult it is for Christians to reach out to the lost in our community, in our midst, in our society, in our nation, and even in the world. But the question is, who are the lost people? The text, scripture is very clear about who the lost are in our midst. The lost are those people who are yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Those are the people who are yet to experience the powerful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from those people, the lost are also those who have already heard the good news of Christ, but now are outside the church. And the lost can also be referred to something that is missing from church today, from Christ's church. Something that is missing from the church that needs to be sought, that needs to be brought back to the church again. I don't mean First Baptist Church of Hudson, but his church, God's church, the global church. Something is missing in the church today. Something is not quite right. Something is out of order. Because as we look around, as we visit churches, as we read about churches, we see the church. The church has a structure, but without the power of Jesus Christ. The church, we have rules. We have systems, but no convictions. We have churches all over with money, but spiritually bankrupt. We have a church with talent, but lacking anointing. We have so many churches with history, but seemingly no future. Because during the leaders' retreat, we were talking about how many churches, every year, many churches close their doors. But very few church starts up. And so that's the reality today, especially in our society, in our country. Something is lost in our churches today, and we need to look for it, we need to find it, and we need to bring them back. Have you ever lost anything in your lives? Keys, wallets, purses at the store. I have so many stories about losing things. Three of them know. One day, it was in California. I went to a mall. Actually, I went to buy Sonnen's pants for his band concert. And so he's partly to be blamed too, right? No, I'm just kidding. So I was walking. I went to a store. I looked for it. I asked around, and I didn't find his size or the color that he wanted. And so I had to go to another store. And usually, I'm not sure if you have observed me, I always carry, this is my driver's license. I have a lot of my IDs here, lots of library cards. Of course, not my credit card in. And all my keys, car keys, house keys, church keys, and I lost one church key. I hope I'll not lose our key. And so when I was in California, I put all the keys here, and I would walk around, and when I'm talking with the helper in the store, I would put my things and ask around or look at the clothes and go to the next door. And as I was going around, somehow I didn't remember which store I left my key. And I was about 10 miles away from home. I lost the key, and there is no public transportation bus that goes to Berkeley. And so I was completely helpless. And finally, I called Occam, and Occam called somebody, a friend. And so there was a lot of calling one person to that person, and I think Occam was somewhere out, and so we had to call the manager of the housing so that he can open the house and my friend can get in and pull out the extra key from, car key from the house. He has to drive all the way to the mall, and finally I brought back the car, and there was a lot of chaos going on. So we all know losing things, but I had to find all the networks I could in order to get the car extra spare key so that I can drive home. And every once in a while, we look for things, and sometimes we pull out a lot of things from under the couch, right? Have you experienced that? Either the remote or, was that? Yes, yes. A lot of things, and even pencils, pens, and Cheerios. I'm not saying two of them hit Cheerios. What's that?
Remotes,
yes. So we will be looking for all over the place, and finally when we pull out the couch, everything is there. But we spend a lot of time looking for it, right? The same thing this scripture passage is telling us, we need to apply the same thing to look for the lost people around us. The same thing we need to apply, the same energy, effort we need to put in order to bring back that is missing from among us. In churches, in our spiritual life, as well as those people who are still lost without experiencing the power of God's grace. And so, if you would read with me verses 1 to 2 of this chapter, chapter 15, here in this very two verses, the text collectors and the sinners were gathered around Jesus. Now, these were lost people, but they were not running away from Jesus. Rather, they were running to him. Sometimes, those people who do not know Christ, who have not heard of Christ, they are running away from church. We have to seriously ask, why are those people running away from church? They never ran away from Jesus. They were running towards Jesus. They were not avoiding him. They were not ignoring him. They were not even hostile towards him. Because verse 1 says, they were gathering around to hear him. They were sinners, but they were running towards him. Why don't people who have not heard the gospel, why don't they run towards us, Christian? What is wrong with us? We need to ask that question. Each and every one of us, believers, long-time believers, Christians, churches, everywhere, we need to ask that question. Why did the lost seek out Jesus rather than run from him? I believe the answer is compassion. Jesus loved them and showed love with compassion instead of condemning attitude. And the Bible says in verse 2 that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. The Greek word, which is translated in English, can mean welcome in the sense to receive as a friend. There's a big difference. We all know that. We have friends. We have close inner circles. And there's an African saying that even if the house is crowded, there is always space for your close friends or relatives. Now, Jesus is talking about that. When we welcome, it is not like just casual welcome, but a very, very warm welcome, which you would do to a close friend. It doesn't matter if you're busy. It doesn't matter if your house is crowded. If your friend is coming, there is always little space for him to get in, for her to get in. And that's the same kind of welcome Jesus is talking about. Whenever there is an accident, luckily, I never had accident. Of course, a little bump at the back, but not a serious accident where it would involve police and the insurance company, insurance agent coming over. And so whenever there is a serious accident, there are always few groups of people. One is, the first group is the bystanders and onlookers. Now, these people are just curious about what happened to people around. And these people have very little involvement. The second group is the police officer. Now, police officers, they would come, they would investigate the cause of the accident and also give out appropriate warning and tickets. And the third group is the paramedics. Now, they are the people most, usually they welcome, they are the most people will come by those involved in accident because they never care about who was at fault, who caused the problem, who caused the accident. They did not engage in lecturing about bad driving habits. Their response is simply to help those who are hurt. They would take care of those people who are hurt. They will free trapped people inside the car and gave words of encouragement. And if necessary, they would take those people to hospital for immediate assistance. And sometimes another group of people is the insurance agent, just to make sure that you don't pay and the other person pays, and so they will be finding ways to shift blame on the other person. And so, in an accident, we have a group of people who are uninvolved, not active, and the other person, the other group is involved in assigning blame and assessing problems and punishment, and the other group is involved in helping the hurting. As Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, which group do we belong to? That's a big question. Where do churches, where do Christian communities fit in when it comes to reaching the hurting and the lost? We are going to be in one of the groups. We will be either inactive, uninvolved, and let others do, or we will be always involved in condemning people for their bad behaviors, or we will be concentrating on helping those who are lost, those who are hurting. Which group are we going to be part of? Are we just going to be bystanders? Are we just going to be pointing fingers at others' fault? Or are we going to join the paramedics and help those who are hurting? Now let's continue with verses 3-5. If we read verses 3-5, in this very passage we have two parables, and Jesus teaches about finding the lost. And in the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus said that the shepherd would leave the 99 sheep in the open country and go after the lost sheep. In the parable of the lost coin, the woman lights a lamp, sweeps the whole house. Maybe that's the only time she swept her house. But and she searches carefully for the lost coin, according to verse 8. Now, in both cases, the shepherd and the woman do not wait for the lost sheep to come back, or the woman does not wait for the lost coin to turn up. How are churches doing? How are believers doing? Are we just waiting for people to turn up at our sanctuary? Are churches just waiting for non-believers to show up at their sanctuary at the door? Do we wait for people to come to us? Are we passive or active believers? Are we waiting for people to come to Christ instead of putting effort into bringing them to Christ? Are we just satisfied that we have received salvation? Is that enough for us? So that's a big question, right? We come to church, we accepted Christ, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and so are we satisfied? Are we going to lock the assurance of salvation in our box, and are we just going to sit quiet, or are we going to be active in order to bring people to Christ? That's a big question. And the parable says we should not wait for the lost people to turn up one day and say, I am lost, I need the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel clearly says we need to leave the rest 99 together, because they are together, they will be doing fine. We need to go after the one who has not heard about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. How do we put this principle into practice? There are several things we can do. First, an important part of our prayer should be for the lost people. Secondly, we need to make every effort, and a significant part of our ministry should be directed towards reaching the lost. And third, making every effort to reach the lost means we must be willing to make outreach a significant part of our personal life as well as our church ministries. Now let's continue reading verses 4. Now Mike will have to do something here, and verses 9 to 10. Homework for Mike. Here in both stories, the person continued seeking after the lost item until he or she found it. In other words, Jesus seems to be telling us that persistence was the needed quality for a successful outreach ministry. Lost sheep will not come back to us. Lost coins will not just turn up and say, I was lost, now use me to buy something. We need to find it. Even if it means lifting up the couch, or kneeling down, turning your knees black, but we still have to find the coin. The same thing should be applied for our outreach ministries. And we know John, he always goes out to the mall. It doesn't matter if people make fun of him or just make certain comments every morning. He would always make a point to share God's peace and message to people. And maybe someday, 20 years, 30 years from now, those people will remember what John said and they will accept Christ. That's the same thing we need to do. We can't just try it once and say, well, I tried, nobody came, that's it. That's not ministry. That's hobby. Because as hobby, you can try something else. You can try riding bikes or just play solo soccer in a baseball field like me. And you can give up anytime you like, or until your belly goes down or you lose your fat. That's what I'm trying to do now. But those are just hobbies. We can just give up any time. But the Word of God, the Scripture says, we cannot do that when we are trying to reach out to those people who are lost. We cannot just try it once. Persistence. We have to keep on working, just like trying to find the remote, just like trying to find every possible network I had in order to get the spare car keys so that I can come home. It involved a lot of making people do a little harder or take out from the work, because I had to call the manager to open the house, and I had to call another friend to make a request, and maybe he was busy with something else, but he had to help. I mean, he decided to help me, not had to. He offered to help. So, but I had to call so many people. I had to try to reach out to so many in so many different ways in order for me to get the keys. The same thing, the church, we had to find different ways and means in order to reach out. After a lively concert in New York, the celebrated classical cellist Yo-Yo Ma decided to rush home and rest. And so he called a cab, and the cab took him to his hotel room on the other side of Manhattan, and he placed his cello, very expensive, that is worth $2.5 million, in the trunk of the taxi. He was so tired the moment he reached the hotel, he just got out of the taxi, paid him, and went to his room and slept. The next morning, he realized that he forgot to take the very expensive cello from the trunk of the car, and luckily he had the receipt, and so he found the ID number of the taxi. He called around, and finally he took the whole day to go to the garage of the place where the taxi driver parked his car, and he was finally very excited to find his cello in the trunk of the taxi. He did everything in order to find that cello. The same thing, if we apply, we need to spend our resources, energy, our plans, and our ministries in order to do so that we will be able to reach out to people around us. And now let's turn to verses 5 to 7, 9 to 10. Again, Mike, I have some homework for you. So verses 5 to 7 and 9 to 10. These verses tell us that the religious leaders of the day, they were hostile. They had indifferent attitude towards the lost. They were not too concerned about the lost people around them. And Jesus uses two parables to show how wrong their response was. And so Jesus compared how they would spend their whole energy, time, in order to find something valuable for them. And the same thing can be applied to our ministries. And Jesus pointed out how joyful they would be when they recover the lost sheep or the lost coin. And Jesus then pointed out that the one thing that matters most to God is not about us. It is the lost person. And so I always say, when we serve God, when we do things for God, when we do ministry, it's not always about me, about us, what I want to do, or what is good for me. It is, we have to make sure that whenever we do anything, it has to be for people who are in need of God's guidance, in need of God's inspiration. And the same thing is mentioned in this passage. God, what matters to God most is the lost one. If lost people matter so much to God, shouldn't they matter the same to us as well, as believers, to church? Shouldn't we be willing to give everything needed in order to reach the lost ones? And I hope you will agree with me, our answer is yes. What is needed for the church to do today in this 21st century is to reach the lost. From this very passage, we discover few things. We know we won't be able to do much, everything, but we can do three small things. Every time, everywhere, show compassion. All the time, give effort. And finally, be persistent in our effort. Never give up. And God will be ready to lead us, guide us, bless us, and use us for the extension of His kingdom. Amen.